thanks. And yourself?
Oh, I'm doing good. Even better than I'm talking to you. And I'll tell you why. I mean, you're part of my growing up. The fabric of my life it has a lot to do with the music of Yes, especially the years that you were in the band in the beginning. It was my college years, you know. It's
yeah. Well, that's kind of, you can get medical help now, you know.
I've been receiving it too. But you know, I remember being in college back in 71, and yeah. And of course, you know, listening to Close to the Edge, which and I tell kids nowadays, it was an album that only had 3 songs on it.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, and not just because I have you with me right now, but my favorite all-time Yes song is Siberian Cat True. I just adore that song, which was the 3rd song on the album. It was the second side, yeah, and You and I, and then Siberian Cat True. But you know, just
it's a quick question. Have you any idea what it means?
Not one single bit.
Right. Okay.
Well, Siberian. I'm thinking. Well, I don't know. I tell you what. You tell me.
Well, I've got no idea at all. I used to call it Siberian Carrot. I have no. I did ask John once. I said, "What does it mean?" He went, "Oh, I don't know." And so, you know, I've really got no idea. It probably means something, but.
You know, I mean, and he's such a brilliant songwriter too.
Oh, he is. He's great. He's a great wordsmith, putting words and things together. And the great thing about John's songs, they do mean something to him, you know, obviously. And but to other people, they can mean something completely different. I was with John once, and a lad came up and he asked about Your Move off of the Yes album.
Uh-huh.
And he said to John, I can't remember exactly what he said, but he said something like, I know what it's about. It's about all the moving of the countries closer to each other and the peace of the people bringing it all together. And John went, yeah. And he walked to one. I said, is it John? He went, no, it's about a chess game.
It's about a chess game.
But he said, if that's what he gets from it, great.
Well, you know, that's the era that we're from. Now, and again, I'm a little younger than you are, just by a few years. But, you know, I saw the Beatles for the first time in 1964 on the Ed Sullivan Show, like we did in the United States.
Yeah.
And it's amazing, and you being the brilliant musician that you are, involved in music probably as a kid, yeah, you see all those changes that were made from, you know, trying to make the perfect 2-minute and 30-second song. You know,
yeah.
For the hits, and all of a sudden, like out of nowhere, like in the late '60s, and a lot of it came from England. You know, the so-called progressive rock just changed the landscape of music completely.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting because there were quite a few of us around who wanted more than the 3-minute pop song of intro, verse, chorus, intro, verse, chorus out.
Yeah.
And, you know, we wanted more out of it, and. The great thing was that record companies at that time, they sort of let you get on with it. So if you said, I've done a 6-minute song or an 8-minute song or a 12-minute song, they went, okay.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing was that even though radio wouldn't play these long tracks, the album charts became more important than the singles charts, and the concerts became more important. And they all charted. Everything charted and had and sold zillions of copies, and the radio really was quite late to catch up in the UK. Not over here.
Yeah, but and the thing what that did, that opened up. First of all, it opened up FM. You know, because everything was on AM in the '60s. FM came about, and they didn't have those rules and regulations where you can play an album side. And not have a problem with it. And
see, that's right. And it was interesting because FM radio played a major part in breaking Yes in America.
Oh yeah.
But we didn't have that radio in the UK. But there was an interesting thing. The music magazines, of which there were 5, there was Disc, Record World, Record Mirror, Disc, Record Mirror, Sounds, New Musical Express, and Melody Maker.
Right.
And they were the Bibles for all of us youngsters and people, musicians. And the interesting thing was, of course, they reported back when bands like Yes and Led Zeppelin and King Crimson,
early Genesis, you know, in the Steve Hackett days.
Yeah, we're breaking in America and having a lot of success in radio play.
Yeah.
And that did a lot to help the bands in the UK because people in the UK, even though, to some extent, progressive rock and prog rock that started in the UK and was sort of very British in many ways, still looked to America. If America said it's okay, then it's okay.
Yeah.
And a lot of bands broke more in America. Yes, did. Broke more in America first.
Then in Europe.
Before Europe, yeah.
Yeah, it's fascinating how that all works. I always wanted to teach a class in music.
Oh, wow.
And how it changed all, I mean, here in the, speaking basically from being an American, how it changed how we feel, what we listen to, what we wear, everything. It was an amazing, amazing process. Those years from 64 to 74 were just so incredible.
You're right.
And it's and I'm so glad that I got to be a part of this and hearing like Fragile or Roundabout for the very first time. There's a lot of people now, the younger people now, that have known the song, but you didn't get that same feeling you did when you bought the album, you put it home, and you dropped it on the turntable.
Oh, I know.
And slammed the headphones off. Oh, it's fantastic.
The only good thing I'll say is that we're now in a situation, certainly in the UK, and I've heard over here now, where vinyl is outselling CDs.
Isn't that something else?
Isn't that great? So new kids, and that, they can experience the going and putting it on, and that wonderful tactile thing of needle touching vinyl on your hearing.
Yeah.
And then it all cuts. Oh, you can't beat it. It's fantastic.
But Rick, you got to, and you have to agree with me on this. Nothing sounded better than a good stereo system and vinyl.
Absolutely.
The
100%.
It's night and day. And the thing about it, a lot of kids didn't see that. I mean, now vinyl's coming back around again after I got rid of all my vinyl and my turntable and everything else, and I got my iPod or whatever, But it's good to see that come back.
Well, yeah, you see, the industry all over the world made a huge mistake. Oh. When something new came out, it said it was a replacement.
Yeah.
So when CDs come, this is a replacement for vinyl. No, it's not. No. This is an additional way you can have music.
Yeah. It's an easier way to have music and a more profitable way. I mean, which I get kind of, it is called the music business. But nonetheless, I think I agree with you, that they shouldn't have anything be a replacement of. It's just in lieu of,
And now people are rediscovering the great art. And being able to read who was on the record and the words, which you couldn't read on CDs.
Rick, I've been a disc jockey for 43 years, okay?
Right.
I got my teeth cut by listening to WNEW-FM in New York. I'm sure you remember that station.
Scott Mooney,
the late, great, the professor.
Yeah.
And that was my broadcasting school, listening to these guys and how they talked and how they presented the music. And it's just I miss those days. I do.
Yeah, well, there was the other thing as well, before radio became very formatted. I used to love coming to America because you get in the car, the FM radio would be on, and whatever city you're in, you would hear different stuff.
Oh, that's so true.
Because the DJs were allowed to bring in their own records and play their own stuff. Yes, you would hear some things that would be like national, but in general,
exactly. You'd
hear different things wherever you went.
And it's so true, because being in the business this long, and I didn't travel that much. I pretty much stayed in New England in my career. But, traveling, you find, what works in the New York market is not going to work in the Dallas market,
No, that's right.
It's two different things. Unfortunately, a lot of the people above us, the, the programmers and everything else, well, they don't look at it that way, This has been a constant battle for as long as I've been in radio, but...
And always will be, I'm afraid.
Yeah, exactly. And I was just thinking, I said this on the air the other day, I played something I can't remember. What's going to happen in 10 years from now? I don't see another Yes coming around. There's nothing to replace this great music that we grew up with. There's nobody carrying the baton, or at least that's coming from a radio aspect. They're not playing anything. I'm sure it's out there.
Well, there's some good players, but radio doesn't play it. The music magazines, as they were, music papers, they've gone. They don't exist anymore.
No.
They do exist. I mean, a couple like New Musical Express exists, but it's not like it was.
Yeah.
So it's all changed. Record shops have. I mean, I crushed one night. I was a teenager, a kid. It would be down to the record shop, and you'd be going through records, and you'd be talking to people. They'd go, "Hey, have you heard this?
Yeah,
check that out. It'd be great."
It was a meeting place.
It was so important. Saturday morning was word-of-mouth music.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
And it was great. I remember going to the record shops And, you know, you're thumbing through the albums. Oh, I got this one. No, I don't have that. Oh, look at this, man. Oh, it's new from Wishbone Ash or something. You know, it's, you know, I don't know where I got that from. I love that. Well, Andy, I've known Andy Powell. I don't know if you ever met him. I've known him for years. He lives in the States. Incredible. And he's out there still performing as well.
Yeah.
And such a nice bloke, as you guys say.
Absolutely, yeah.
The grumpy old, like you, you're a nice old bloke. And what? And you know what? It's just, now, you're going to do a concert or are you going to do a stand-up comedy? I mean,
it's a mixture of both.
I know. I've seen you, you know, receiving awards. I'm going, I never knew this guy was that funny, you know?
Well, I'm as known in the UK for comedy as I am for music. I've had my own comedy TV shows and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Basically, what I do, I sit at the piano and I play music on the piano that I've been involved with over my life, with Yes Music, David Bowie, Cat Stevens.
Oh, it goes back. Beatles. Straubs, one of my favorite bands.
Yeah, I do all kinds of things. And then in between, just tell completely ludicrous stories. and the title Grumpy Old Rockstar came because I did one big series in the UK called Grumpy Old Men, which was an incredibly popular TV program. And I got known as the Grumpy Old Man because I was in all of them. And a big publishing company asked me to write a couple of books based on the ludicrous things that had happened to me in my life. And they said, we want to call it Rick Wakeman, Grumpy Old Man. But I couldn't do that because the TV company and the production company owned the rights to the name.
Right.
So I changed. So I went, okay, we'll have a Grumpy Old Rockstar. And that sort of stuck, and I became known as the Grumpy Old Rockstar. And my agent, Larry, over here, when he wanted to bring the show over here, he said, the only thing is, he said, got to call it the Grumpy Old Rockstar Tour. I went, okay, that suits me.
Exactly.
So here I am on the Grumpy Old Rockstar Tour.
And it's coming to the Richfield Playhouse. You're going to love this venue, Richfield Playhouse, in Richfield, Connecticut, on Sunday, October the 13th. The tickets are available now. You could also get meet and greet tickets as well. Check on the website, the Richfield Playhouse website, for more information on that. And you're going to love Richfield, Connecticut, because it is your typical New England town. It's absolutely beautiful. It's I hope you get enough time just to kind of cruise around the area, because, and especially this time of year with leaves changing, it's taking acid without taking acid.
it's a lovely state, especially when you come to fall, and that is beautiful.
It's absolutely gorgeous. Now, can I ask a question? And I hope I'm not out of line with this, but you were married a couple of times, as was
four.
And I have no problems with my ex-wives whatsoever. We're all friends.
Right.
But you were married to a woman who was in one of my favorite movies of all time.
American Werewolf in London.
Nina Carter.
Yeah.
I mean, when I first saw the movie, I left there shaking. I was terrified by it. And I was an older guy. I was in my 20s. I said, man, this is a scary-ass movie. And then thinking about it, I realized how much humor was in that movie, and I went and saw it again and found it all. I mean, it was a great movie, but I never knew that you were married to her until I read a bio.
Yeah, she was my third wife. she was number three.
Yeah, you see, I did two. I don't know if I could do three yet. I think there's still time.
Well, I'm on four.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah, it's a good number, and two nearlies.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, two very, very nearlies in between.
Nearlies,
But, you know, eventually, I mean, my wife and I now, Rach, we've been together for, 17 years, so, you know, we're okay. But, interestingly, my wife, Rachel, she's met my previous three wives, which is pretty scary when that happens. You talk about American Werewolf in London being scary.
Yeah,
it's pretty scary when.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. I'm feeling awkward just talking about it.
Yeah, it was. I mean, the worst one once was when, before I married Rachel, when I was still married to Nina, and she met Danielle, who was a Swiss French model, who was my second wife, and Rosalind, who was my English first wife, and. By pure fluke, they all met at the airport.
Oh, my God.
And I'd parked the car, and I walked into the terminal, and there were the three of them in a huddle. And it was like, there was a lot of people there in the terminal, but it was like the world stood still. They all froze. And the three of them turn around and look at me. And I went, oh, God, no, please.
If I only knew how to disappear.
Yeah. And sort of got in the car and was driving home with Nina. And there was sort of silence. And then she said, so you used to throw your clothes all over the floor when you were married to Danielle, did you? And I went, oh, no, here we go. And they'd exchanged everything on me. Oh. And it was an absolute nightmare. But Rachel's met them all, but I don't think they've exchanged things anymore. Well, if they have, she hasn't told me.
Oh, good Lord. That's so funny. Hey, listen, tickets available now for the Grumpy Old Rock Star Tour coming to the Richfield Playhouse on Sunday, October the 13th. I'm telling you, the best lineup of Yes was... My favorite was, you know, of course, John Anderson, the late, great Chris Squire. I got to meet him once. I tell you, he played, I remember seeing him in concert as well. Actually, you were there, too. It was at the Oakdale Theater in Wallingford. Man, that guy would play the bass. You'd put your hand on the wall, right, and it would shake your whole body. He was just what an incredible bass guitar player that man was. Unbelievable.
And he had a speaker system that was unbelievable. They say that like speakers blow air, as you know. You could walk past that speaker, and if you hit a note, you know, it would take the seams out of your trousers.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. It was known as trouser flapping.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. You know, and between him, you, and Steve Howe, who I just think is absolutely unreal as a guitar player goes.
Yeah.
And of course, John Anderson. And the drummer was Bruford, right? Or was it
originally? Originally it was Bill, the great, wonderful Bill Bruford.
Yeah. I'm not sure. See, now, there's been a lot of different lineups of the band, and you were in a few of them. I remember the Anderson, Wakeman, Bruford, and Howe, which was incredible.
There's been quite a few lineups of Yes. In fact, I think the only two people who've never been in Yes are the Pope and Trump. You know, I think virtually you meet nearly everybody. I mean, if you're in a hall and say stand up if you've been in Yes, most of the hall would stand up.
Yeah. Hey, they had every single incarnation of the band had some of the top musicians in the world play with them, you know, and with the vocal stylings of Mr. John Anderson, who's just incredible. It's always been, and again, it's a fabric of my growing up. It's a part of my musical fabric of listening to you guys on an 8-track tape going to class. You know,
it was
absolutely wonderful. Rick, thank you so much. I know you got things to do, but October 13th, it's a Sunday night Richfield Playhouse. I look forward to coming down there and hanging, seeing the show. Can't wait
to see
you.
Thanks. Come and say hello. Thanks ever so much.
I will, Rick. Thank you so much for calling.
Cheers, mate.
All right.